The Youth's Instructor, February 21, 1901, Christ's Entry into Jerusalem, Part 1. The Youth's Instructor, February 21, 1901, Christ's Entry into Jerusalem, Part 1. The time of Christ's entry into Jerusalem was the most lovely season of the year. The Mount of Olives was carpeted with green, and the groves were beautiful with varied foliage. From the regions round about Jerusalem, many people had come to the feast with an earnest desire to see Jesus. The crowning miracle of the Savior, in raising Lazarus from the dead, had had a wonderful effect upon the people, and a large and enthusiastic multitude was drawn to the place where Jesus was tarrying. The afternoon was half spent when Jesus sent his disciples to the village of Bethphage, saying, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." This was the first time during his life of ministry that Christ had consented to ride, and the disciples interpreted this move to be an indication that he was about to assert his kingly power and authority, and take his position on David's throne. Joyfully they executed the commission. They found the colt and loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye, loosing the colt?" And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and he sat upon him. As Jesus takes his seat upon the animal, the air becomes vocal with acclamations of praise and triumph. He is the object of universal homage. He bears no outward sign of royalty. He wears no dress of state, nor is he followed by a train of soldiers. But he is surrounded by a company wrought up to the highest pitch of excitement. They cannot restrain the joyous feelings of expectancy that animate their hearts. Many flatter themselves that the hour of Israel's emancipation is at hand. In imagination, they see the Roman army dispersed and driven from Jerusalem, and the Jewish nation once more free from the yoke of the oppressor. From lip to lip, the question passes: will he at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Many in the throng recall the word of the prophet, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem! Behold, thy king cometh unto thee! He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass." Each strives to excel the other in responding to the prophetic past. The shout echoes from mountain and valley, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" No mourning nor wailing is heard in that wonderful procession. No captives are to be seen in chains of humiliation. Those who have once been blind, but whose eyes have felt the healing touch of the Son of God, lead the way. They press close to the side of Jesus, while one whom he has raised from the dead leads the animal upon which he is seated. Those once deaf and dumb, with ears opened and tongues unloosed, help to swell the glad hosannas. Cripples, now with buoyant steps and grateful hearts, are most active in breaking down palm branches and strewing them in his path as their tribute of homage to the mighty healer. The leper, who has listened to the dread words of the priest, unclean, which shut him up from intercourse with his fellow men, is there. But the curse of the loathsome disease no longer contaminates those within touch of him. He has felt the compassionate touch of the Savior and has been cleansed by his power. Now he lays his untainted garment in the path of the Savior, exclaiming, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." The healed demoniac is there, not now to have the words wrenched from his lips by satanic power, "Let us alone," but clothed and in his right mind. He adds his testimony to that of others, "The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad." The restored dead are there. Their tongues, once palsied by the power of Satan, take up the song of rejoicing. "He hath brought the dead from their graves. I will open my lips in praise to him." The widow and the orphan are there to tell of his wonderful works. Little children are inspired by the scene. There are present those who have been healed of their diseases and brought back from the grave by the word of the life-giver. And with palm branches and flowers, these bestrew the path of the Redeemer.